former NBA exec and coach, and of course, current NBA TV analyst. Stu, great to have you on this morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Hey, thanks for having me again, guys.
Happy to. We love hearing from you. Your analysis of sort of where we are in a league with point guards. We were talking about big men earlier, and we're not in the same era. It feels like it's just Dwight Howard. Nobody's playing back to the basketball anymore. Your big men better be able to shoot. They better be able to run. There aren't Sean Bradleys in the league anymore. But the point guard position is, you may have out of your best 30 players in the NBA, 8 or 10 of them might be point guards. That's how important the position is. And the Bulls used to win without a point guard, and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's really difficult, particularly, you know, the way that the rules have been changed in the past decade and a half, and the fact that the, you know, officiating emphasis is now on not being able to hold players on the perimeter or hand check them or body check them, having someone that has the ability to now get into the lane and collapse opposing defenses and as well shoot the ball from the perimeter to make defenses press out on the perimeter is really important. And it's really because of those rules and interpretations has really opened up the game, particularly in the middle of the floor, and really put even more pressure and a need, dare I say, on having players that are able to do that, especially the point guard.
When you're watching this Raptors-Wizards series, there's been a lot of surprising elements to it, and one of them is just John Wall's taking it over, especially in Game 2, and we keep waiting for Kyle Lowry to be the guy we saw earlier this season. Are you convinced they're overmatched? Are you convinced that Kyle Lowry just isn't physically right? What are you seeing?
Well, listen, in no disparaging Kyle Lowry, John Wall is a tough matchup for anybody, any point guard in this league, because of his size, because of his athletic ability, and the fact that I think through his maturation, he has really learned to run a basketball team and particularly the tempo of the game. And even though you look at the fact in Game 2, he took the basketball game over, you know, for all intents and purposes in Game 1, he wasn't very good for most of that game, but then late in the game in the overtime, he took it over again, and he has that ability, and I thought was a big factor in the reason why the Wizards are up 2-0.
What this Rondo situation in Dallas, I'm fascinated to get your perspective. You've signed players, you've cut players, you've coached players in this league. I feel like of 30 coaches, I feel like I weirdly know Rick Carlisle the best. I spent time with his teams. I traveled on the road with him. I know he can be a prickly guy, but players have loved playing for him. Why has this not even come close to working? I'd have to blame it all on the player. They both have a resume and they both have a championship ring, but the player hasn't acquiesced and fit in with his new team.
Well, like most situations, I don't think in this case the player corners the market on, you know, the ill feelings and bad behavior. I felt this way, and I said this on NBA TV back when they made the trade for Rondo, that the Dallas Mavericks' two biggest needs at the time in an effort to try to vault their team, you know, into a higher seed in the playoffs and perhaps have a championship type run were contingent on two things. That is improving their defense and improving their rebounding. And with the acquisition of Rajon Rondo, they did neither. Okay, and I didn't understand the move. I mean, you factor into that Rondo has had a history of, you know, being a little bit uncertain, you know, emotionally and being difficult to deal with back in his Boston days, and his ability to integrate into the team. He wasn't very good at it. And if not for the leadership of Pierce, Garnett, and Ray Allen, certainly you might have seen the same thing with the Boston Celtics then. So I didn't like the move then. I didn't like it afterwards. And all that's coming to fruition right now, I think, is a poor decision by the Mavericks to acquire him. And certainly what they got Rondo, they knew what they were getting, and now you see the result of it.
San Antonio, L.A., from what we've seen, sets up to be probably the best first-round series, the one with the bigger chance to go deep. We'll see what the Raptors have up their sleeve in Game 3. What are you seeing from the Spurs and for the Clippers? The San Antonio is going to be a nightmare matchup for whoever. Is it an okay one for the Clippers?
Yeah. With the Clippers, what I do see is this. I see a Clipper basketball team that has much more of a sense of urgency, is playing together as a unit much better than they were last playoff season, and they're making a real effort to cut down on late game execution and turnover mistakes. They're making that effort. So if I'm the Spurs, I'm a little bit concerned because they really have their ears perked. And on top of that, the Clippers really pose a really bad matchup for the Spurs. They have no one that can guard Blake Griffin. And even the Defensive Player of the Year, Kawhi Leonard, doesn't stand a chance physically against somebody like Griffin. And I think throughout this series, he's going to have success. What I worry about is, the Clippers' ability to sustain that effort, the energy, and the execution, which they just have not shown, and I do not like their bench. I think their bench is very weak, and if you factor that, even though last night I think the scoring on the bench was even, but in game one, I think it was 43-22 in favor of the Spurs, and you knew last night the Spurs starters weren't going to play as poorly as they did in game one. And sure enough, you get a great ball game. And, at the end of the game, the Clippers don't execute. You had the key turnover by, Blake Griffith. The Spurs, on the other hand, continue their flawless offensive play, and they win the game in overtime. It's going to be a hell of a series, but I think at the end of the day, the bench is going to be a telltale sign and the detriment of the Los Angeles Clippers.
NBA TV's Stu Jackson, our guest. We got about 90 seconds. Can I sell you on the Bulls competing with the Cavs in the next round, that it's going so well? Milwaukee's a great matchup for them. Jimmy Butler's exploiting guys all over the place, but can I convince you Chicago? They haven't had to get on an airplane. That's great. That's a big deal in the first round, is avoiding travel, minimizing your games. If they get through quickly, can they give Cleveland something to think about in the second round?
And there's no question that they can. The Bulls, particularly if Derrick Rose is healthy. I mean, through the first couple games, they have been absolutely terrific. I mean, what if I told you that they're leading all playoff teams right now in assists per game? What if I told you that, their three-point shooting, has been terrific so far, and they're not, even without Mirotić right now. And defensively right now, Chicago is second among all teams in the playoffs defensively for a team that didn't play as well defensively during the regular season. So to answer to your question, it's an easy sell. They're deep, great front court. They have a star in Derrick Rose who seems to be playing at a high level. They have good perimeter shooting. And if defensively they're playing the way they're capable, they are more than capable of giving Cleveland a run for their money. Jimmy Butler, terrific defender, not going to stop LeBron, but certainly he'll make him earn it, and that's all you can do. And the fact that Cleveland hasn't been there and had that adversity through a playoff run the way the Bulls have historically over the past few years, I give the Bulls a great chance to win the series.
Chicago Milwaukee's on NBA TV tonight. I'm so relieved because we're so stressed the Raptors are going out. If it happens, we got to have a great series next round in the East. There's no drama right now.
I feel your pain. Trust me, but you may have run into a buzzsaw in the Wizards here.
Well, and I'd love to see Washington give Atlanta a go, and I'm not sure they can't if they get done and cooled early. That could be also a more fun second round than we'd expect. We got a blast, Stu. We'll definitely talk really soon. Love your work. Thanks for this.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, guys.